Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
But first, the US will abandon trying to broker a Russia-Ukraine peace deal within days, unless there are clear signs of a truce that can be reached. So says US Secretary of State Marco Rubio. We're not going to continue with this endeavor, he says, for weeks and months on end, adding that America had other priorities to focus on. It comes as a Russian attack on Kharkiv killed one and injured 82 others, including children in that attack. For the latest on all of this, I'm joined now by Ukraine MP Maria Mezentseva. Maria, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you for having me this evening.
I want to talk to you about the Paris talks yesterday and what Marco Rubio has been saying, but I want to ask you first about the Russian missile attack in Kharkiv. What's the latest information that you have?
Yeah, well, early in the morning when people are still sleeping, one of our neighborhoods was attacked by three missiles. It's a sort of, it can be compared with a Tomahawk, so it's very speedy one, it's very fast one. Usually in Kharkiv, sometimes you have less than 60 seconds to hide. So basically people were in their beds, peacefully sleeping, children including, as you have rightly mentioned, according to my latest information, the wounded number is over 90 persons, including children, with one person being killed. Well, same goes today with Sumy, the spot where the Easter cakes have been baked was targeted, killing a businessman who was supposed to deliver this civilians, to civilian spots of supermarkets. Yeah. Within Kharkiv, we have two schools, two kindergartens, one culture center for children, more than 20 multi-store buildings and 40 private properties being damaged. People have gone through terrible stress, and most of them are now in the hospitals. We don't consider that a sign or a hope or a trial for any ceasefire. So well, I think it's very clear.
It does strike me as you're talking, Maria. I mean, it's fanciful, isn't it, or ridiculous in one way to have peace talks.
Unfortunately, it becomes statistics. What happened in Sumy, Kryvyi Rih, Kharkiv, almost daily, and I mean, I'm living there, and I must tell you, it feels horrible. You sometimes neglect your own safety because, well, you never know if the Russian roulette would be on your side or not. That's a bad humor to say. But I think it's very clear right now, finally, after Paris and the talks that have been conducted with our U.S. partners. I think President Trump clearly said, and Mark Rubio confirmed it, there should be a strict deadline. It can't be going like, you know, for 12 hours listening to this KGB agents over there talking nonsense, just dragging the leg, taking the time to regroup. We are witnessing, according to our intelligence and the brigades and battalions and regiments of drones, for instance, like Achilles, that are fighting in Kharkiv region, that the regrouping is currently ongoing. Just this night, next to the city of Kupiansk, that was temporarily occupied in Kharkiv region, then deoccupied. Now, Russians are standing just 2 kilometers away from it, and they're trying to regroup to force
can I ask you this, though? It seemed to me that Mark, from his tone and what he said, that Marco Rubio was losing patience. But I just wonder if they are looking at what's happening in Kharkiv and in Ukraine in general with the Russian attacks and then the so-called peace talks that we're having. Are they losing patience with Russia, ostensibly, do you think?
I think they do. And I've been waiting for this moment. It couldn't be going forever. Russians are Russians. We've been through this for 11 years. We've been through Minsk 1, Minsk 2, mediated by France, Germany. It didn't work well, really. And obviously, OSCE was producing numerous reports that ceasefire was not really working. what I'm afraid a lot of, that we are actually losing time. We have to enhance our capabilities from every spot possible. That's why the program Rearm Europe is so crucial. That's why our internal capabilities should be crucial. You know, we're spending 60% of our budget on defense, and we highly rely on our partners. So I think it's the time to be very anxious and actually mad at Russians. I mean,
well, what
the
do you
US
think will
partners
happen,
should be mad.
What do you, if there is no ceasefire or truce within days, as the US wants, they say they will walk away. They have other priorities. What does that mean?
Other promises have to be implemented. So sanctions have to be implemented. Well, we didn't see Russia on tariff list, right? There was us with 10%. There were EU and others, but there was no Russia. I think it was sort of appeasement, you know, not to irritate them too much. But, you know, we really can't forget about civilians in captivity, prisoners of war, 20,000 children being deported to Russia with the changed names, changed passports, changed identities. If you can't do the ceasefire, let's do the exchange. Let us get our people back. Stop hurting us.
But do you have a guarantee, I wonder, does Kyiv have a guarantee that will happen, that the US, having walked away from peace talks, will guarantee sanctions, guarantee a prisoner exchange?
No. I mean, U.S. has to stay, and U.S. has to press for the sanctions, because they have articulated that so many times. You know, if Russia doesn't do this, that let's imagine ceasefire, we will implement sanctions. Let's go further. Then, you know, Easter is coming in a day time.
Yeah,
so all the deadlines are lost.
Risk, there's a risk based on Marco Rubio's comments that they simply walk away from this and leave.
I don't think it's realistic. I don't think it's gonna be a scenario. Maybe, you know, maybe it's just, you know, another statement that you know that has been said. Let me put it this way.
Yeah, isn't there a danger then that if there is a loss of interest, and they were quite confident very early on that there would be a ceasefire or a peace deal very quickly, in Donald Trump's words, if that isn't to happen, will the Russians grind them down and bog them down in detail, which would allow them to continue this war, to continue indefinitely?
Well, they haven't stopped even for a day. You know, we just had 23 hours without sirens, but That was just it, you know. The killings and shellings continue further. I think it's not about ifs, you know. There can be so many scenarios. I think something which has to be very clear right now, whatever happens, Europe has to stand up for itself. We are not the only one on the menu. Ukraine is not the only item on the menu. Russia will march forward. They are preparing, they are regrouping, and Putin has zero intentions to stop. I think that should be very clear for everyone.
Well, it's certainly becoming
fighting
more clear for an awful lot of people. And you've made that point in Ukraine for quite some time. I'm reading, Maria, on the BBC that the Ukraine and US, that you've agreed the outline of a minerals deal. What can you tell me about that?
I can only comment that the technical teams agreed a memorandum, the step one, which has been signed. Step two, us as parliamentarians, we need to see the details of the deal, because it's going to be us who need to give 226 votes minimum to ratify it. So it's going to be on our shoulders, this extremely important decision. Before
What's your
looking
red
at
line?
The text,
will you require a security guarantee from the US?
I cannot tell you what's inside, because I haven't seen the paper. Simple as that, unfortunately.
But I'm saying, for you as an MP, will you require some sort of a security guarantee from the US in order to sign away any minerals?
Well, security guarantees have been requested at the highest level by President Zelensky multiple times. And I think some sort of this has to be implemented there.
Okay. Maria Mazintseva, Ukraine MP, thank you so much for talking to us on the program.